Okay, so today is the 10th.
I put the link in the chat.
Is that right? Oh, good idea. Okay, so we don't have anybody new on. Oh, maybe we do. There's Pat. I guess that's Pat Kerwin. Is that right, Pat? Or do you have
your... that's me.
Okay,
sorry,
good.
Let me start my video.
Okay, that's fine. In that case, I will summarize just a little bit because, we've been talking about the 25 prophets of Islam, and that's not to say there aren't other prophets in Islam, but there are 25 big ones. And interestingly, they all are equated with biblical figures. And in some cases, the equations are really, really obvious. For example, Nun is Noah, and Dawood is David, and Yusuf is Joseph, stuff like that. In other cases, however, the names bear no resemblance whatsoever. Hud, for example, who is Hud, and Salih and Shu'aib and these figures. But every one of them has been identified with some biblical character or other. Now, that's not to say that there's not some disagreement. Sometimes there is. For example, but some others like Shu'aib, for example, is associated with Midian. So, it makes a lot of sense to identify him with Jethro, even though the names don't line up at all. But anyway... What's really interesting about this, and if something else occurs to somebody that I'm not saying, please jump in. But what's really interesting about a lot of this, I think, is that most of the stories that we've covered are very familiar. They're biblical stories, but with a different twist. And what's emphasized, for example, is not the same as you find in the Bible. Sometimes you find, a lot of the time you find really significant details that we know about in the Bible just completely left out. And in other cases, other details that are just glossed over in the Bible developed in a fair amount of, detail. For example, one of the things that pops into my mind is Terah, Abraham's father. And, it's kind of mentioned in one spot that Terah was a polytheist. But boy, oh boy, it gets big press in the Quran. Stuff like that. So the coloring, I guess you'd say, of the stories is quite a bit different in the Quran from what we find in the Bible. And the moral of the story, it seems to me at least, or what we should take away from this, or at least in terms of just Christian history as opposed to Islamic history, but is that a lot of variants of these stories were circulating around. And if you've consulted other documents, for example, what always pops into my mind is the Nag Hammadi Library, which was discovered like in 1944, something like that, and it's a Coptic text, a book, actually, a codex, with all sorts of books in it, and they're very familiar biblical stories, but with a different twist. Actually, those are Gnostic versions of biblical stories. So anyway, that just says to me that there's an awful lot of variability in these stories circulating. There was a big, there was a big deal about Noah's wife. In the Quran, nothing about Noah's wife is bad in the Bible, but in the Quran, she's one of the damned, along with Lot's wife and stuff like that. So, it just says to me that a lot of variations on a theme were circulating. Of course, he's reflecting the stories that probably were current in the Arabian Peninsula. He certainly knew Jews. He certainly knew Christians during his life. And, these stories are reflecting the kinds of things that were current in his era, and they made their way into the Quran. So I just think that's really interesting. As I said, there are 25. Does anybody have anything to add to that? As I said, there are 25 really important prophets in Islam. Number 25 is Muhammad. Number one is Adam. and you know, and all the ones, a lot of the ones you would expect are there. You know, obviously Noah and Abraham and you know, Jacob and Joseph and actually David and Solomon are prophets, and we are on. Oh, golly days. I haven't counted them up. But we're on Elijah is where we are. We've gone through Solomon, and we're really marching along. Let's see. Moses was number 14. I remember that. That's Musa. That's Moses. Aaron is 15. And then Ezekiel, actually, is 16. David is 17, and Solomon is 18. So we're on prophet number 19 of the 25. And let me get the spelling. I want to get the Arabic spellings correct, because they're always a little bit different from what we're used to.
Hey, thank you for the review. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. There is Elias. Long A, Elias, and that, not surprisingly, is Elijah. And I might as well put up Eliasa. Right, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's Elisha. You know, and the other thing, too, about these prophets. In some cases, there's a huge amount of detail. I mean, Noah is a biggie. Moses is a huge biggie. I mean, my goodness, we spent 4 weeks on Moses. But others are just mentioned in passing. You know, frequently in the Quran, there are lists. You find a verse and it says, and God found favor with A and B and C and D and E, that sort of thing. So, I mean, in some cases, that's the only reference to that prophet. Now, Elijah and Elisha don't have too much here, but so I'm going to start with Elijah, and that's Surah 37, 124 to 133. Yes. So let me read about Elisha. What did I say now? 37. Elijah. Here we are, 124 to 133. And assuredly, Elijah, also was one of the messengers. When he said to his people, "Will you not fear God? Do you call on Baal and forsake the best of creators? Allah, your Lord, and the Lord of your forefathers of old. Allah, your Lord, and the Lord of your forefathers of old." But they treated him as a liar. This is a very frequent theme, of course. And they surely will be brought before God to render an account, except the chosen servants of Allah. And we left for him a good name among the following generations. Peace be unto Elijah and his people. Thus indeed do we reward those who do good. Surely he was one of our believing servants. And that's it. That's it for Elijah. Much of this, of course, and I keep on saying this, much of this reflects Muhammad's own situation. You have to remember that the Meccans, he was from Mecca, the Meccans, and later he went to Medina, but they were polytheists. And so here you have a guy preaching monotheism amid a polytheistic society. And so many of these stories reflect that exact situation. So here you have Elijah. He's clearly referring to the, you know, contest with the prophets of Baal. And but it gets cast as a contest between polytheism and monotheism. So, I mean, the same thing happens over and over and over and over. All these prophets are prophets of Allah. You know, they are preaching. There is only one God and so forth. And they are preaching this to a society that traditionally for hundreds of years has been polytheistic, and invariably the reaction is the same. I mean, I'm sure those of you who've been with me the whole time, you think, oh, ho-hum, you know, this is, we've heard this one before. You know, you're a liar. Why, you know, if you're telling the truth, why didn't you come down with angels and trumpets and so forth? And by the way, our forefathers have been doing this for as long as anybody can remember. Why should we ever change? I mean, you hear those themes over and over and over and over again. And this is yet another case with prophet number, what did I say? It was 19? Are we up to 18? I forget now. But Elijah, the same general thing. So, I mean, a biblical story is massaged or spun in this polytheistic versus monotheistic contest story. And that's always the cast that is placed on these stories. I think the most revealing one, by the way, as long as I was summarizing, I think the most revealing one that we've hit so far, which is really a very short one, was Job. And remember, we talked about that a lot. And, you know, the book of Job is mainly an investigation, I guess you'd say, an investigation of the problem of evil, you know. Job was a perfectly righteous man, and he was afflicted with sores and, you know, disease, and lost all this, you know, his worldly possessions and so forth and so on. Why did, you know, why was there this mismatch between his righteousness and what happened to him? 98% of the book of Job is about that. And then scholars think that that good ending got tacked on to the end because somebody just couldn't stand the book not having a happy ending. But guess what? In the Quran, that's the part of the story of Job. That's the only part of the story of Job that's mentioned. Why? Because it dovetails with Muhammad's main theme, that if you believe and you repent and you obey the commands of Allah, you will be rewarded. And if you don't, you've given one chance. If you blow it, you're burned in hell forever. That is the main theme. And so given that's the whole kind of framework, then the only part of the book of Job that's relevant to that framework is the part that scholars think was tacked on to the end of it, you know? So, but I mean, here we have Elijah, same thing. He's a good guy. He was fighting against these polytheists, these prophets of Baal, but we liked him because he was telling the truth. And this is this long tradition that Muhammad is simply the culmination of. Okay? That's Elijah.
So, Don, yeah. Nothing about raising the dead. Like in the Bible.
No. Well, who are you thinking about? Like Jesus raising the dead?
Elijah.
Did he raise the dead? I don't remember that. Am I not remembering something I should remember? I don't recall that at all.
Raised the son of someone. It was a woman. I don't remember the names, but...
So, what's that got to do with raising the dead?
Oh, Elijah raised the dead of someone.
Oh, really? I didn't remember that.
No,
he
didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, no. Yeah, okay. I'd forgotten that. No. Well, the answer, of course, is no. That's not here at all. Yeah. And here is two verses that even mention Elisha. And I'll just read one of them because this is a typical verse for somebody who is not really talked about in detail in the Quran. And remember, Ishmael and Elisha and Dul Kifl, that's Ezekiel, and all were of the best. That's it. There's another verse that's basically the same as that. So we can now check off Elisha. So we're done with Elisha. So now we move on to, let's see. Okay, that's okay. How long you? Right? Am I right about this? Yeah. You know who this is? Jonah. Okay. Best book in the Bible, in my opinion. But anyway, so there's a little bit about Jonah here. And let's see, 21, 88, and 89. Okay, I got to find that second. Here we go. Oh, yeah. No, I got... Maybe. And remember... Right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, does he have an alternate name? Let's see here. Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, I should write this up too. I got to get this so it's not blocking what I'm reading here. Let me write this up as well. Because, you know, some of these people have a couple of different names that they're referred to as. So here we got... that's yeah. I'm sorry. I think I was right. That was Ezekiel. Dahl. There we go. Dahl Nun. Yeah, it's like almost like the name for Ezekiel, but this is Dahl Nun. And that's another name for Jonah. So let me read that, because and remember Dahl Nun when he went away in anger, and he thought that we would never cause him distress, and he cried out in the depths of darkness, saying, "There is no God but Thou. Holy art Thou. I have indeed been of the wrongdoers." So we heard his prayer and delivered him from the distress, and thus did we deliver the believers. And again, here we are, 37, 140 to 149. Yes. And surely Jonah was also one of the messengers. When he fled to the laden ship, and he cast lots with the crew of the ship, and was of the losers. And the fish swallowed him while he was blaming himself. And had he not been of those who glorify God, And had he not been of those who glorify God, he would have surely tarried in its belly till the day of resurrection. Then we cast him on a bare tract of land, and he was sick. And we caused a plant of gourd to grow over him, and we sent him as a messenger to 100,000 people or more, and they believed, so we gave them provision for a while. Okay. Now that's actually a quick summary of the entire story of Jonah. I should have maybe read that one first. You'll remember the book of Jonah is in four chapters. It's really short. I think it should be classified as a short story. I mean, I really think, you know, it's not, I know it's listed among the prophetic books. I know that. But it's really not like most of the prophetic books, you know, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Rather, it's a story about this guy. And like I said, it's a short story. And it's in four chapters and in two parts. So chapters one and two are part one. Chapters three and four are part two. And chapters one and two are the famous part about, you know, God tells Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. The people have been angering me. I want you to tell them that, you know, they need to repent. And so Jonah doesn't want to do that. And he has this idea that God's power is confined to Israel. And all he has to do is head out to Tarshish, somewhere in the west, some vague place. But get on a ship and go out. And, you know, then he'll be off of God's radar, so to speak. And, of course, that doesn't happen. Big storm kicks up. He figures, uh-oh, you know, I guess I'm really at fault here. And they throw him overboard. And, of course, he's swallowed by a fish and taken, spat out on land. While he's in the fish, there is, or at the very end of chapter 2, there's Jonah's prayer. Actually, I guess after he was delivered. Well, maybe, I don't know if it's in the fish or after he was delivered. But anyway, he's praising God for his deliverance. And that's what's alluded to in the first of the two things I read you, where it says, he cried out in the depths of darkness. So yeah, in the fish, saying, there is no God but thou, holy art thou, I have indeed been of the wrongdoers. So we heard his prayer and delivered him from the distress. And thus, and of course, the moral of the story is, and thus do we deliver the believers, because Jonah was a good guy, so he got delivered from his distress. The second half of the story, which is alluded to in the second part of the second selection that I just read, of course, he relents and goes to Nineveh, and he does what God originally had commanded him to do, which is to preach repentance to the Ninevites. You know, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, so pretty clear the Assyrians were absolutely hated by everybody. They were one of the most brutal empires of antiquity, and so yeah, there's plenty to repent about. But then Jonah preaches repentance, and lo and behold, they repent. You know, that wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, he was convinced the Assyrians? Come on. But they repent. And Jonah is so ticked off. And basically God tells him, well, you know, can't I... You know, once again, Jonah has this mistaken idea that, well, God just loves us and can't stand anybody, especially Assyrians. You know, why would God love the Assyrians? And God basically says, you know, why shouldn't I... You know, why shouldn't I love the Assyrians too? And the very last words of the book of Jonah, and also the animals. So even a little bit of environmentalism is thrown in there. Well, anyway, so that whole story is alluded to in the second of the three. And the third one is just about the second half of the story of Jonah. If I can find that real quick. Where am I? Ten, just one verse. 1099. So it's back here somewhere. I got so many tabs. Which one is it? Oh, here it is. Kind of obscured. Yeah. Why was there no other people save the people of Jonah who should have believed so that their belief would have profited them? When they believed, we removed from them the punishment of disgrace in the present life, and we gave them provision for a while. Okay, so that's clearly a reference to the second half of the book of Jonah, where the Ninevites repent after being preached to by Jonah. So, a quick summary of the story, but, you know, it's fairly... matches pretty well with the story in the Bible. But, of course, the story in the Bible also dovetails with Muhammad's main theme, which is that if you repent and believe and so forth, you'll be saved and you'll experience good things, and otherwise if you don't. So that's Jonah. And now we are, amazingly, in the New Testament. So we're done with the Old Testament. That means Jonah must be 22, because we got three in the New Testament. No, sorry. Jesus is 24, 23, 22. He must be 21. So we're now into the New Testament. What I'll do, in celebration of having gone to the New Testament, I will erase this stuff and start anew. So our next prophet this is easy. All right, that's really easy. Zechariah. So he's number, what did I say, was it 22? So there are a couple of things about Zechariah. And three. So 36 to 42. Remember when the woman of Imran said, "My Lord, I have vowed to thee, what is in my womb to be dedicated to thy service? So do accept it of me, verily. Thou alone art all-hearing, all-knowing." But when she was delivered of it, she said, "My Lord, I am delivered of a female." And Allah knew best what she had brought forth, and the male she was thinking of was not like the female she had brought forth. And I have named her Mary, and I commit her and her offspring to thy protection from Satan the rejected. So her Lord accepted her with a gracious acceptance and caused her to grow an excellent growth and made Zechariah her guardian. Whenever Zechariah visited her in the chamber, he found with her provisions. He said, "O Mary, whence hast thou this?" She replied, "It is from Allah. Surely Allah gives to whomsoever he pleases without measure." There and then did Zechariah pray to his Lord, saying, "My Lord, grant me from thyself pure offspring. Surely thou art the hearer of prayer." And the angels called to him as he stood praying in the chamber, "Allah gives thee glad tidings of Yahya, and that's John, the Baptist, coming up, who shall testify to the truth of a word from Allah, noble and chaste and a prophet from among the righteous." He said, "My Lord, how shall I have a son when age has overtaken me and my wife is barren?" He answered, "Such is the way of Allah. He does what he pleases." He said, "My Lord, appoint a token for me." He replied, "Thy token shall be that thou shalt not speak to men for 3 days except by signs, and remember thy Lord much, and glorify him in the evening and the early morning." Okay, so that's the father of John the Baptist awaiting the birth of Jesus. That's the first one. The second one, Surah 19, verses 3 through 12. Here it is. Yeah. Oh, interestingly, now I'm going to read a lot of this one a little bit later, but you can maybe see the title of it. Mariam. A few of the surahs, remember there's one titled after Noah, there's another one titled after Hud. Well, this one's titled after Mary. So most of it's going to be about Mary, but this first part is about Zechariah. What did I say? 3 through 12. This is an account of the mercy of thy Lord shown to his servant Zechariah. When he called upon his Lord, a secret calling, he said, "My Lord, the bones have indeed waxed feeble in me, and the head glistens with hoariness, but never, my Lord, have I been unblessed in my prayer to thee. And I fear my relations after me, and my wife is barren. Grant me, therefore, a successor from thyself, that he may be," he's a prophet, right? So, successor, "that he may be heir to me and the house of Jacob, and make him, my Lord, well-pleasing to thee. O Zechariah," this would be God talking, I guess, "we give thee glad tidings of a son whose name shall be Yahya, and that we have not made anyone before him of that name." He said, "My Lord, how shall I have a son when my wife is barren, and I have reached the extreme limit of old age?" He said, "So it is, but thy Lord says, it is easy for me, and indeed I created thee before when thou wast nothing." He said, "My Lord, appoint for me a token God said, thy token is that thou shalt not speak to anyone for 3 full days and nights. Then he came forth unto his people from the chamber and asked them by signs to glorify God in the morning and the evening. Okay, same story, basically, as the previous one. That was the 12, yeah. And the last one, 21, 90, and 91. This is a real short one. Yeah. And remember Zechariah, when he cried to his Lord, saying, my Lord, leave me not childless, and thou art the best of inheritors. So he heard his prayer and bestowed upon him John and cured his wife for him. They used to vie with one another in good works, and they called upon us in hope and in fear, and they humbled themselves before us. Okay. So that's Zechariah. All righty. Now, next one is that's Yahya, and this is, remember, the letters with the dots under them. Remember, there are about, what, 6 or so of the have that diacritic. It simply means that they come from farther back in your throat. But anyway, this is John the Baptist. So, Yahya. Yahya, because it's a long A. Let's see. Okay, really only one. Back in Surah number 19, that's the one about Mary. Here we are. 13 through 16. Oh, Yahya, hold fast the book. And we gave him wisdom while yet a child, and tenderness of heart from ourself, and purity, and he was pious and dutiful towards his parents. And he was not haughty and rebellious, and peace was on him the day he was born, and the day he died, and peace there will be on him the day he will be raised up to life again. That's it. Other than, you know, a mention in other verses, you know, along with many others, and that sort of thing. I'm not even reading those. This is the only one about, and it's pretty sketchy, the life of John the Baptist. Nothing about being a baptizer. Nothing about, you know, preparing the way of the Lord and all that sort of thing. Nothing about baptizing Jesus and the Jordan. None of that stuff. But anyway, he was a good guy. That's basically the bottom line. And then finally we come, not finally, penultimately. Yeah.
Is there any kind of tradition of baptism in Islam?
I don't know of any such thing.
So maybe it would be sort of off theme to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that may very well be. Just not really a very great interest. Our penultimate person, of course. I can't even remember it. Okay, long A. That's a hyene back in your throat. But of course, this is Jesus.
Yeah, Don, can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
You know, after going through all these people, it sure seems that Mary should have qualified as a prophet.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot about her.
Is it solely her sex?
I don't think so. Remember, of course, the number of prophets in Islam is not necessarily confined to 25. These are just the 25, you know, major prophets. And, you know, not unlike the Bible in that respect, you know. And I don't see any reason why prophethood should be confined to males only. But she's not one of the 25, at least. I don't know if there's any tradition in Islam. I could look it up, maybe, that would count her as a prophet. I don't know.
Considering what she did as the messenger of God, she certainly did something far more than a bunch of these lightweights we read.
Yeah, but they're not lightweights. They're one of the 25. So, I could check it out.
The only reference to them is that they said that, you know, the monotheism and that Allah was God.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Well, she did more than that.
Well, take that up with Muhammad. You know, you have to remember that behind this there's the Quran and then there's the traditions. And I suppose you'd have to factor in the traditions to elevate the ones that, like Elisha, for example, that are just mentioned in passing, you know.
Of course, in Islam, Mary is not considered, I don't think, the mother of God.
No, of course not.
She's the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is just another prophet.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Well, except Zechariah was we just read about him as the father of John the Baptist and not much else.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like she gets shorted.
She gets, it's not as though there's not plenty about her. I mean, she has a whole surah named after her too. So I mean, it's not as if there's no detail here. So yeah, it sounds like she got the short end of the stick. So let's start with Mary, which is really the story concerning Jesus' birth. Going back to Surah 3. That's another one. 343 to 60. So I've got to find the right one here. Here we go. 43 to 60. So this is going to be pretty long. Yeah. And remember when the angel said, O Mary, Allah has chosen thee and purified thee and chosen thee above the women of all peoples. Well, that sounds fairly familiar. O Mary, be obedient to thy Lord and prostrate thyself and worship God alone with those who worship. This is of the tidings of things unseen which we reveal to thee. I guess thee in this case is Muhammad. This is God talking. The end of the quote was those whom we worship. And then end of quote and then God talking, I suppose. This is of the tidings of things unseen which we reveal to thee. And thou wast not with them when they cast their arrows as to which of them should be the guardian of Mary, nor wast thou with them when they disputed with one another. When the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name shall be the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, honored in this world and in the next, and of those who are granted nearness to God. And he shall speak to the people in the cradle, and when of middle age, he shall be of the righteous. She said, My Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, Such is the way of Allah. He creates what he pleases. When he decrees a thing, he says to it, Be, and it is. And he will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. And will make him a messenger to the children of Israel to say, I come to you with a sign from your Lord, which is that I will fashion out for you a creation out of clay after the manner of a bird. Then I will breathe into it a new spirit, and it will become a soaring being by the command of Allah. And I will heal the night blind and the leprous, and I will quicken the dead by the command of Allah. And I will announce to you what you will eat and what you will store up in your houses. Surely therein is a sign for you of your believers. And I come fulfilling that which is before me, namely the Torah, and to allow you some of that which was forbidden to you. That would be, I guess, the idea that certain of the laws in the Torah are superseded, I suppose. And I come to you with a sign from your Lord. So fear Allah and obey me. Surely Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is the right path. And when Jesus perceived their disbelief, now this is very typical, right, of the style of the Quran, right? I mean, you have something really early on, and all of a sudden, in the very next verse, you've traveled many years into the future, just assuming what happened, what was there before was sort of replicated in the intervening time. Anyway, and when Jesus perceived their disbelief, he said, "Who will be my helpers in the cause of Allah?" The disciples answered, "We are the helpers of Allah. We have believed in Allah, and bear thou witness that we are obedient. Our Lord, we believe in that which thou hast sent down, and we follow the messenger. So write us down among those who bear witness." And they planned, and Allah also planned, and Allah is the best of planners. When Allah said, "O Jesus, I will cause thee to die a natural death, and will exalt thee to myself, and will clear thee from the charges of those who disbelieve, and will place those who follow thee above those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection. Then to me shall be your return, and I will judge between you concerning that wherein you differ. Then, as for those who disbelieve, I will punish them with a severe punishment in this world and in the next, and they shall have no helpers. And as for those who believe and do good works, he will pay them for their full rewards, and Allah loves not the wrongdoers. That is what we recite unto thee of the signs and the wise reminder." Surely the case of Jesus with Allah is like the case of Adam. He created him out of dust, and then he said to him, "Be," and he was. This is the truth from thy Lord, so be thou not of those who doubt. Where am I going? How far am I going here? 60. Okay, yeah, so that was it. So that's interesting. Well, it's interesting in many, many ways, right? I mean, this is not really focusing, as other parts of the Quran will, on Jesus' death, but it is mentioning it. And also, interestingly, at the very end, it almost reflects Pauline theology. Right? I mean, you know, Jesus is the second Adam. not exactly, I mean, not that it's exactly the same as Paul, but at any rate, the parallel between Jesus and Adam is right there at the very end. This is the last verse I read. Surely the case of Jesus with Allah is like the case of Adam. How? Well, he created them both out of nothing, as it were. Right, I mean, you know, so he did. You know, he came into Mary's womb from nowhere, just as Adam was created out of dust. You know, as opposed to being born of a woman. So, in that respect, they are similar. So, anyway, very interesting. Very interesting.
He was going to have give him a natural death.
Well, yes, that. Well, we'll get to that. Yes, but the whole deal. We'll certainly see a different theological take on the whole crucifixion business, because of course he's just a prophet, right? He's not the son of God. He's just a prophet. So some of the things in the Bible are not going to be reflected here in the Quran. The other thing that was interesting, I don't know if you picked up on this, but I guess this is a weird sort of allusion to the dove at Jesus' baptism, right? This is back in verse 50, where he says, you know, he says to the children of Israel, "I come to you with a sign from your Lord, which is that I will fashion out for you a creation out of clay after the manner of a bird, and then I will breathe into it a new spirit, and it will become a soaring being by the command of Allah." I guess that is an allusion actually to a couple of different passages that we're familiar with. I mean, you know, when Jesus says, this is near the end, I guess it's from the book of John, where he says, you know, I'm going to be, you know, crucified, but I will give to you a comforter. And that's, of course, even the Spirit of Truth and so forth and so on. And then sort of conflating that with the story of his baptism and the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, you know, this is my beloved son and so forth. So it's as though those two completely different stories were conflated here, and a little different take on it is cast, where he says, you know, I'm going to fashion out of clay this bird and breathe into it a new spirit. But I take it that that's an allusion to those two separate stories in the book of, well, the book of John, actually. So that's interesting. That's a good example, too, of the way the biblical stories get a little strange twist to them sometimes. Let's see, 19, 17 through 41. This is a long one, but I think I have time to read it. 19, got to find it first. Here we are. 19, 17 to 41. I go here. Now, by the way, we're back in the book, you know, book titled Mariam. And all I'm doing is reading consecutively. I mean, I started with verse 3 and read through verse 12, and that was all about Zechariah. And then 13 through 16 was all about John the Baptist. Well, picking up in 17, we have Mary and the whole story of Jesus' birth to 41, I think I said. And relate the story of Mary as mentioned in the book, when she withdrew from her people to a place to the east and screened herself off from them, and we sent our angel to her, and he appeared to her in the form of a perfect man. She said, I seek refuge with the gracious God from thee, if indeed thou dost fear him. He replied, I am only a messenger of thy Lord, that I may bestow on thee a righteous son. She said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? Neither have I been unchaste. He replied, thus it is. But, says thy Lord, it is easy for me, and we shall do so that we may make him a sign unto men and a mercy from us. And it is a thing decreed. So she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her unto the trunk of a palm tree. She said, oh, would that I had died before this and had become a thing quite forgotten. Then he called her forth from beneath her, saying, grieve not, thy Lord has placed a rivulet below thee, and shake towards thyself the trunk of the palm tree. It will cause fresh ripe dates to fall upon thee. So eat and drink and cool thy eye. And if thou seest any man, say, I have vowed a fast to the gracious God. I will therefore not speak this day to any human being. All right. Then she brought him to her people, carrying him. They said, O Mary, thou hast brought forth a strange thing. O sister of Aaron, thy father was not a wicked man, nor was thy mother an unchaste woman. Then she pointed to him. They said, how can we talk to one who was a child in the cradle? He said, this would be Jesus, who's just an infant, just a newborn. He said, I am a servant of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wheresoever I may be, and has enjoined upon me prayer and almsgiving as long as I live. And he has made me dutiful toward my mother, and he has not made me haughty and unblessed. And peace was on me the day I was born, and peace there will be on me the day I shall die, and the day I shall be raised up to life again. End of quote. Such was Jesus, son of Mary. This is a statement of the truth about which they doubt. I presume they being other Meccans or other Muhammad's enemies. It does not befit the majesty of Allah to take unto himself a son. Holy is he, when he decrees a thing, he says to it, be, and it is. Said Jesus, Surely Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him alone. This is the right path. But the parties differed among themselves. And woe to those who disbelieve because of the meeting of a great day. How wonderful will their hearing and seeing be on the day when they will come to us. But today the wrongdoers are in manifest error. And warn them of the day of grief when the matter will be decided. But now they are in a state of carelessness, so they do not believe. It is we who will inherit the earth and all who are there, who are thereon, and to us they will all be returned. Well, there's a lot going on here, right? I mean, interestingly, a parenthetical remark. A parenthetical remark right after Jesus was propounding theology from the cradle. A parenthetical remark, which pops up more than one place, by the way, in the Quran. It does not befit the majesty of Allah to take unto himself a son. Right? That's like a slap in the face, right? And by the way, Muhammad is saying, this is not the Son of God. This is just Prophet number 24. Right? And then what follows from there, and we'll see, these things overlap, of course, but we'll see this later. I think there's an allusion to the theological controversies that racked the Eastern Roman Empire for centuries. Even in the West there were too, but much more so in the East. I mean, you have the Nestorians and the Monophysites and splinter groups here and there who could not ever get on the same page. And so when it says, but the parties differed among themselves, so woe to those who disbelieve because of the meeting of a great day, that will be also mentioned in other verses in the Quran, alluded to the controversies. And they would probably be more familiar with the eastern part of the Roman Empire. Well, what was left of it, the Byzantine world, the last one, 2192. I want to at least do that, and then we have to quit. And by the way, as long as I'm talking about that, we've got 2 minutes. Some people have suggested that was one of the reasons Islam was so successful, was because we had so much division in the Byzantine world, and some people even willingly accepted anybody but the authority of Constantinople. So there you go. And not to mention the lack of unity. But anyway, one more verse. This is only one verse here. 21:92. And remember her who preserved her chastity, so we breathed into her our word. That sounds like an allusion to the prologue of the book of John. And we made her and her son a sign for peoples. So the word became flesh, but not really in the Quran, but The word is echoed here as well. So, really interesting stuff. Think about it for a week. That's just the first of many, many topics. Well, not many, but about half a dozen or so topics here under Jesus that I've divided it up into. And so we can talk about that some more next week. All right? So, see ya. We got to quit.
Thanks, Don.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Don.
Yes.